Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It is a great pleasure to have with us once again Elon Berman, a man I've come to admire greatly for his perspicacity when it comes to matters involving a whole host of national and international security issues, notably but not exclusively involving the Middle East, but also Russia and the Muslim Brotherhood, Islamism more generally. He is a resource of great value, now working as the Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council. He is the author and co-author and editor of more books than I can count, but most recently, I believe, the terrific work in 2014, Iran's Strategic Penetration of Latin America. Very, very worrying subject indeed. Elon Berman, thank you so much for joining us. Good to have you back.
Oh, it's great to be back.
Let me ask you first about Iran, but not so much with respect to what it's doing in our own backyard, or what I think of as our front yard for the moment, but what it's doing in its neck of the woods and the danger that it represents. There is talk, especially if the president walks away from this very dubious deal involving climate change, that he might do next to Obama's other major legacy project, the Iran deal, a similar walk away. What's Iran up to, Elon, and is it time for us to take such a step?
Well, I think this is the key question, because for an administration that has announced that it intends to comprehensively review policy towards Iran, there's really two big ticket items. One is the nuclear deal, right? The legacy of the Obama administration's policy towards Iran. And the second is everything else. But they're actually related topics, because the nuclear deal, even though the Obama administration talked a great deal about the fact that this is tactical in nature and it's only intended to address Iran's nuclear program, has conferred strategic benefits to Iran, because the amount of money that's been liberated, that's been provided to Iran, both in direct sanctions relief and also in sort of follow-on trade that's begun to take place between Iran and the countries of Europe and Asia, has really reset the table for the Iranians and allowed them to expand their strategic ambitions. And you can see that playing out in places like Syria, in places like Yemen, in places like Iraq. And I think what we're looking at is the necessity to curtail a increasingly emboldened, globally focused Iran. And a lot of that has to do with the fruits of the nuclear deal.
You testified recently before the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Elon Berman, about the need for improved sanctions against this regime. Specifically, what kinds of sanctions are in order, and can we realistically expect them to have much impact after the damage done by the Obama team in unraveling the international sanctions mechanisms that had been in place?
Well, the answer, I think, is yes and no. Look, I think it's perfectly clear that the Obama administration's efforts to reset relations with Iran have fundamentally damaged the architecture of sanctions, of economic pressure that we've created over the preceding decade and a half against Iran. But that doesn't mean that we're out of options. And here, I think one of the most impactful ways where we can really begin to turn the tables and sort of reapply economic pressure is to take a look at nefarious actors like Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps. The White House talked early on in its tenure about the idea of an executive order comprehensively blacklisting the IRGC. This has been tabled, at least for the moment, for a whole host of political considerations, but it deserves a serious second look, because the IRGC is much more than a military. They are the vanguard of Khomeini's Islamic Revolution. They're in charge of the regime's strategic program, and by all back-of-the-envelope calculations, they control something like a third of the Iranian national economy. So this is low-hanging fruit if we're going to begin to think about how to prevent trade normalization with Iran and how to really reestablish our leverage against them.
Let me ask you about a not unrelated issue. One of Iran's neighbors and sometimes partners, it turns out, is Turkey. And Turkey, since we've last talked, Ilan, has had a referendum that has helped the president of Turkey consolidate power in a way that I find very ominous. I kind of thought of the summit with the Turks in the room at NATO as kind of one of those classic elephant in the room situations. Nobody was going to talk about the fact that Turkey really doesn't seem to be a reliable ally. And the question of whether or not it can be safely kept on in that status, gaining access to our intelligence and weapon systems like the F-35 and the like. What are your thoughts?
No, I think that's exactly right. Look, what we saw in April in Turkey, in which Turkish President Erdogan successfully rammed through a constitutional referendum giving him far greater powers than he had previously, was just the culmination of a process that's been underway for a long time. It's been clear for years that the Turks under Erdogan's Justice and Development Party, the AKP, are increasingly Middle Eastern-looking, anti-Western, conspiratorial, anti-Semitic, and sort of a lot of these sort of labels that make it reasonable to conclude that they are less than reliable partners with regard to the United States and with regard to NATO. I think what we saw in April just is sort of the icing on the cake, but it is true that NATO now faces a huge strategic dilemma. NATO has criteria under the North Atlantic Charter for accession, for criteria by which countries can become parts of the alliance. But what it doesn't have is criteria for deaccession. There's no way to kick out member states, which means that NATO, unless it develops these mechanisms, runs the risk of becoming an increasingly obsolete, divided alliance. Because the more, and Turkey's sort of the most egregious case, clearly, but theoretically, it's not the only one. The broader the alliance becomes, the more it's going to default to its lowest common denominator. These days, the lowest common denominator is Turkey, which is increasingly suspect as a reliable partner on things like regional defense, on things like Middle Eastern politics, and missile defense, for example. But in the future, you can imagine that scenario playing out not just with Turkey, but with other countries as well, because nations don't have eternal allies. They only have eternal interests. And Turkey's interests are changing, and they're changing in an anti-Western direction.
They certainly are. Again, a topic for more conversation soon, Ilan Berman. Let me ask you finally, very quickly, just a minute or so to go, could you give us an assessment of the idea the administration seems obsessed with of resuscitating the Israel-Palestinian so-called peace process?
Look, I think the idea that an Israeli-Palestinian peace deal can be hammered out is an appealing one. This isn't a new development. This is something that every president since Gerald Ford has tried to sort of to cobble together under the auspices of the White House. I think the fact that we don't have one yet speaks to the idea that this isn't something that can be rammed through on an artificial timeline. And even though the United States now has more goodwill towards the Israeli government and more pressure that it can exert on the Palestinians than its predecessor, I think the idea that President Trump can succeed where all of his predecessors have failed suggests that, pretty facile reading of history.
It is indeed. Ilan Berman, thank you so much for your time today. Ilan is, again, the Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council. He is also a columnist with Forbes.com, and you can follow him at IlanBerman.com. Thanks so much for joining us. Come back to us again soon. I hope the rest of you will do so as well. The same time tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.